Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Tonight, the 30th verse from the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashihi nirmamaha bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva vigata yudhyasva vigata jvara. Mayi unto me sarvani,
sarvani
all sorts of karmani, activities sanyasya, giving up completely, adhyatma, with full knowledge of the self, chetasa,
by consciousness,
nirashihi,
without desire for profit,
nirmamaha, without sense of ownership, bhutva, so being, yudhyasva,
fight,
vigata jvaraha, without being lethargic. Translation. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Purport. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because this is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord, and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute his order. The Supreme Lord is the soul of all souls. Therefore, one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious is called Adhyatma Chetasa. Nirashih means that one has to act on the order of the master, but should not expect fruitive results. The cashier may count millions of dollars for his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to any individual person, but that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purport of Mayi, or unto me. And when one acts in such Krishna consciousness, certainly he does not claim proprietorship over anything. This consciousness is called Nirmama, or nothing is mine. And if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, which is without consideration of so-called kinsmen in the bodily relationship, the reluctance should be thrown off. In this way, one may become vigatajvara, or without feverish mentality or lethargy. Everyone, according to his quality and position, has a particular type of work to discharge, and all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness as described above. That will lead one to the path of liberation. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Mayi sarvāni karmani sanyasya dhyātma cetasaha nirashir nirmamo bhutvā yudhyasvā vigatā jvara. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhyanayane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And usually, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna avoids saying things so directly. But this is, in a sense, an exceptional verse, where Krishna directly and very clearly indicates, as Prabhupada says, the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does not really like to say so openly what he wants from us. And the reason is very serious, because we don't want to hear this. People don't like to hear about surrender. This is the worst thing which you can hear about. This is a very bitter medicine. And although Krishna wants to say ultimately this, and he will say after so much, you know, going round about and, you know, saying this and that, massaging our false ego in different ways, ultimately he will say this. Sarva dharman parityaja mama kam saranam braja. He will say this. Man manabhava madbhaktomam yajimam namaskuru. But especially in the beginning, he more or less tries to keep himself on a very neutral position. He doesn't speak about God. And what to speak about saying, you know, surrender unto me. This is a very bold statement, which is rare, because Krishna wants to keep Bhagavad Gita as broad as possible, as universal as possible. He wants it to be acceptable for practically everyone. And therefore this book is so known, and therefore so many speculations has arisen out of this book. Because there is some ground. There is really something in what Krishna says, which is more or less for everyone, you know. And he's saying, yeah, this is good, and this is good, and this is good. And then he says, well, but give it all up and surrender to me. This is what I want. This is the real purpose. This is Bhagavad Gita. If you study it objectively, Krishna says it again and again and again. But because he knows that if he would just only say this, that would be rejected, Krishna is not really doing it. You know, people, they like to hear why Mayavad philosophy is so widespread. You know, sometimes we may wonder, you know, we have the greatest philosophy, we are totally convinced about it, but, you know, only a few people appreciate it. Mayavad, everyone appreciates it. Because it's so nice. It's very flattering for the false ego. Aham Brahmasmi. It's nice, isn't it? I'm Brahman. Very good. Everyone is good, I'm good, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. So there are so many things which are in the scriptures, which are some kind of complimentary or flattering. And people like to hear about this. Even devotees, they kind of figured it out after so many years of attempts to preach boldly. Now they're preaching yoga and meditation and Ayurveda. Because Ayurveda doesn't touch your false ego. It more or less treats a lot of diseases, but doesn't treat the most serious disease, the disease of false ego. yoga and meditation, this is all of the same kind of level, the same kind of statements, the same kind of approaches to the problems of life. But ultimately, it is here Krishna gives the ultimate medicine, the ultimate recipe or the ultimate process, which is to surrender, and which is very difficult for us. And he says this in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita only because of one reason, because Arjuna told him in the beginning of this third chapter, tell me clearly, don't go this and this and this and this, you know, sthita dhir muni, this and that, you know. Don't go around. Tell me clearly what is the best for me. And still, despite of this direct request of Arjuna, which he expresses in the very beginning of the third chapter, Krishna is not in a hurry to say this. He's saying, yagyarta karmanon yatra, you know. Do it for yagya. Who is yagya? He doesn't say, I'm yagya. Prabhupada explains in the purport, Vishnu vai yagya. Vishnu is yagya. But he says, yagyarta karmanon yatra, do it as a sacrifice. He's really careful, because he knows that the false ego, the defense mechanism is very strong. That because of our self-deception and defense mechanism, we will not accept it so easily and so willingly. Because it's really a lot to ask from us, who are so much conditioned and used to live in this situation of false ego. So, but finally, because Arjuna did ask him, please tell me directly what is the best for me, he says this. And as Prabhupada explains here, this is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. But even Prabhupada, as bold as he is, if you noticed in the commentary, he's kind of trying to make it a little more smooth. He says, it's a difficult to do, but it's a little difficult to do, but try to do it. And then he says, it's a stern order by the Supreme Lord, but, you know, just do it and everything will be all right. He's giving a little injection of anesthetic, you know, for us to some little, you know, sugar coating over this bitter medicine. But ultimately, that's what Krishna wants from us. And ultimately, this is what brings about the benefit. But even though we know it, it's not easy. And it's a gradual process. And in fact, Krishna here explains this, the gradual process of surrender in one sense, which I will speak a little later about. But before, also, sometimes people say, when they read this statement, and there are many statements of this kind, you know, Mayi sarvani karmani. Just give me, you know, sanyasya dhyatma chetasa. Just give everything to me. You know, it's a very unpolite statement. You have to be really bold to say this. And sometimes people say that Krishna is not humble. Why does he say this? And Krishna indeed is not humble, because he says it again and again and again. He says, Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate. But in reality, he is humble. And the reason why he speaks this, to say this, you have to be humble. Krishna is not trying to hide anything, but he is humble in a true sense. Because first of all, look who is Krishna. Krishna is here the charioteer of Arjuna. You know, he is the Supreme Lord. And he's saying, just, you know, give it to me, you know, and I'm the friend of everyone, and I'm the proprietor of everything which you do. But ultimately, this friend of everyone, the Supreme Lord, he takes the reins of the chariot of Arjuna. Not only reins. During the battlefield of the battle of Kurukshetra, he was you know, washing the horses of Arjuna. He was feeding the horses. it's not a very high position, and he's doing this. And you know, in the battle of Kurukshetra, at one point, when Karna was supposed to fight with Arjuna directly, Karna said to Duryodhan, you know, I can fight with Arjuna. Arjuna is nothing. But I need a good charioteer. Look who is driving the chariot of Arjuna. That's Krishna himself. I need at least somebody as good as him, you know. Then only I can be victorious. And Duryodhana said, who is that? Who is that? Who can be as good as Krishna in driving the chariot? And he said, Shalya. Give me Shalya. You know, if Shalya agrees to this, and Shalya is a big kshatriya, if Shalya agrees to this, then there is a chance. So Duryodhana goes to Shalya, and Duryodhana tells Shalya, Shalya, you have to become the driver of Karna. Shalya, oh my goodness, Shalya, he makes such a scene. He starts screaming and yelling. He said, I, the chariot driver of this guy who is not even a kshatriya, who is a sutta, who is a lower caste, you know, no way, forget it. Never. Anyway, somehow or other he is convinced to do it, but the point is that, you know, Shalya didn't want to become chariot driver, but Krishna, he didn't have a problem with this. He became very easily chariot driver. Not only this, you know, if we really consider, this is, first I wanted to say this, because this is to understand the deep meaning of what Krishna wants to say to us. Because when he says this, it's really his trust towards us. We have this problem, and in the next verse he will indicate this problem. We are envious. We have this asuya, this quality of envy. And therefore when we hear this, or when normal people, or so to speak, normal people, hear this kind of statement, they don't like it. But in reality, Krishna is the most humble being. You know? He is a chariot driver. Then Arjuna tells him, Shishyastiham shadimam tvam prapanam. I am your shishya. I am your soul surrendered unto you. Tell me, whatever you will tell, I will do. And then Krishna gives a lecture, a big lecture, Bhagavad Gita class, the original Bhagavad Gita class. 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita in one gulp. But then after that, what Krishna does? He again takes the reins of the horses and drives the horses. He doesn't say, I'm guru now, so I will be sitting there on the chariot and you drive the chariot. No, he's again doing the same thing. So he's saying it because he knows the reality, he knows the truth, and he's saying this Because he really has a very pure heart. He's saying it very openly, and to say this openly, you either have to be really obnoxious, or you have to be really humble. Like recently during Ratha-yatra festival, I spoke with one devotee from Scotland, Prabhupada Charan, and they told me that he's the biggest collector. He collects, you know, £500,000 a year, £600,000 a year. Pretty good. He's a humble soul. And he told me how he collects. He told me that he goes to an office and says, you have to give. You have to. He says, I go to a businessman and I tell him, you have to give £10,000. And the businessman says, oh. He says, okay, give 2,000. And the businessman becomes very happy. It's a big discount. But the point is, he can only do this because he has a completely pure heart. You can only do this. And nobody gets offended, nobody, you know. And he goes to somebody and he says, give money. You have to give money. You know, I'm a monk, you have to give money. And then the person starts lying and saying something, you know, I'm so broke, I have no money, whatever. And then he says, if you lie to a monk, you will have to give twice as much. And the guy becomes... He told me some stories of this kind. But the point is that why is he so direct? Only because he has pure heart. Because he knows that I'm not asking for myself, I actually want to bring some benefit to this person. Therefore only I can go with all boldness, say, you just give everything, you know, surrender everything. It doesn't belong to you anyway, so what is the use? If you have this purity in the heart, you can do it. And because he has such a pure heart, he's doing this. And a similar situation here, because Krishna, he really, why does he say this? Only because he knows that ultimately that's what we need, and that ultimately he doesn't need this. He doesn't need that we stupid beings as we are to surrender to him. It's just a headache for him to have so many strange servants as we are. Hridayananda Maharaj, he says that there are four kinds of sufferings in this world, not three. And he knows it. He says there is, of course, adhyatmika klesha, adhidaivika klesha, adhibhautika klesha, and he says adhidasika klesha, the suffering from the servants. This is what you get. But Krishna, despite of this, the prospect of having more headache from all these servants, he says, you surrender unto me. Because it will be good for you. And he says it in a very bold manner. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasam. And he's not afraid. You know, when you tell this to a person, you just give me all your work, all the results of your work, just give me completely. What the reaction will be? Just imagine for a second. People will get offended. They will say, who do you think you are? You know, if you tell this, you're really asking for troubles. People will develop some grudge, some bitterness or whatever. And he knows this. In the verse 32, he will say that there will be people who will be asuya. Asuya means that envious person. Asuya means the people who will try to find faults where there is no fault. Mm-hmm. This is the definition of envy. When you are seeing the faults, doshas and gunas. Somebody has all good qualities and you see only bad qualities. Because you want to push him down. He knows this. He knows that this is the condition of the human beings here. We are envious of God, and especially, you know, when we feel this prospect of surrendering to Him, we don't like it at all. And we say, you know, no, this is not good, this is, you know, the ultimate expression of human envy is to say God doesn't exist, you know, He's not there, no. He's not there. Because this is the, you know, this is the ultimate fault. Non-existence. You know. He says, how come I'm not there? I'm here. You know, I'm everywhere. I'm in your heart. You know, but people, because of this quality of envy, they say, no, he doesn't exist. Or they find faults, or they say he's bad, or they say, you know, so many things. Like this guy, a Russian archbishop, who wrote a big letter about Krishna, you know, saying that Krishna is dead, Krishna is dead. And I said, this is parampara from Shishupal. Shishupal parampara. which is still current. There's no yoganastha. It was not broken. And this parampara from Shishupal is still there in this world. People are trying to find faults in Krishna. And despite this, Krishna says this, because he knows that this is the medicine. And this reaction is natural because, you know, just imagine what surrender means. Surrender means what Krishna says. First of all, it's totally, completely illogical stuff. No normal people would do it. There's no way. You know, he says, Mahi sarvani karmani sanyasya. Just give up, whatever you do, just give it to me. You know, just imagine it. You know, I do it with all my sweat and blood and all the problems, and I have to give it to somebody else. Why? Tell me why. And not only this. Krishna says here in this verse, he says that you do it, you work, yes. Karmani eva dikaraste maphalishu kadachana. You have the adhikar to work, but maphalishu kadachana. you don't have the right, you cannot claim the fruits of your work. He says you can only work, and the fruits don't belong to you. How does he dare to say this? This is too much. So this is one thing he says. And then he says, not only this, you know, it's not enough, you know, he demands pretty big, you know, but then he says it's even, it's like a mockery, you know, he's just really deriding us. He says, adhyatma chetasam, with the complete, you know, spiritual consciousness. You have to have it's not enough for him that we should give all the fruits to him. We also have to care about our consciousness. And he says, this is what surrender is. Just listen, this is very important. He says, you don't claim the proprietorship. You give up all the work which you do to him. You devote yourself to him. And he says, you have to do it in full consciousness. In full spiritual understanding. He says, you shouldn't do it grudgingly, but you have to understand from the very beginning that it doesn't belong to you anyway. Because the whole material world does not belong to you. The matter doesn't belong to you. He explains that, you know, when you perform your work, it's not really you who is doing this. This is the whole mechanism which is there. You're just a tiny little soul. You're totally impotent. You're just 1/10,000th of the tip of the hair, you know, and you're sitting there in this machine. And, you know, it took you 15 years to learn how to drive this machine, to get used to it. Now you're used to it, and now you say, oh, this is me. Yes, right. He says, this is not you. Nothing belongs to you. This body does not belong to you. Nothing belongs to you. If it belonged to you, why would it be taken away from you? The very fact that you're losing it, you will lose it at the moment of death, but even during the lifetime, you're losing it again and again. We will lose everything, you know. We lose our, you know, mental power, we become senile, you know, at one point. We lose our memory, we lose our eyesight. You know, it is... It's all indications. It does not belong to you. Whatever you do through this material mechanism, it's anyway, you're just borrowing it. Krishna gave you this body. Krishna gave you this whole world, and he just wants to see. He's just testing you. Like here Prabhupada gives the example of the clerk who's counting the money. So he's counting the money, and the master, the owner of the bank, put a camera there. Because, well, counting the money, he sometimes puts something in the box. So Krishna is really testing us. He gives us everything. He tells us, you know, I can give you everything, but I want to see how you use it. And he says, most of the people are thieves. He says this in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He says, stana eva saha. He says, they're all thieves. Stana. They're all rogues. You know, they're just using it for themselves without expressing any gratitude, without, you know, trying to steal here and there. This is the all-pervading quality. Like in Russia, in the Soviet Union, previously, before this new era, everything supposedly belonged to the state. And the state would, you know, would be all-pervading, and the state would basically say the same thing as Krishna, you know, surrender unto me. Prabhupada, he had this conversation with Professor Katovsky, and he basically started off the conversation with Professor Katovsky saying that Krishna says, surrender unto me. And your state says the same thing, surrender unto me. So what's the difference? You know, it's better to surrender to Krishna. So Professor Katovsky says, no, it's not good to surrender to one person, but it's good to surrender to the whole state. Because it's collectively, it's not so painful for the false ego. Prabhupada says, surrender is surrender, it doesn't matter. The point is that you have to surrender in any case. No matter who you are, you have to surrender. So it's better to surrender to God. But in any case, so Krishna is saying here that you have to understand that Adhyatma Chetasa, you have to have this spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness means you have to know who you are and who is God. And that you're always His. That you already belong to Him. And therefore nothing really, you know, this is an illusion to think that you are independent. Just because of illusion we think that this belongs to me, this is mine. Nothing is mine. Nothing is really, you know, nothing really belongs to me. And therefore Krishna, he stresses this. And basically this is what Prabhupada explains here. He says, Adhyatma Chetasa, he says it means Krishna consciousness, but it means spiritual consciousness, Adhyatma Chetasa, literally. And it means that you understand who you are, that your spirit soul, that you're part and parcel of God. And in this way, it will not become difficult for you to surrender. It become natural, because this is a fact. This is the fact of the reality, you cannot deny it. You already belong to God. And you know, just by illusion you think that something belongs to you or whatever, and you try to enjoy this. But the most important thing here in this verse is this three conditions of surrender which Krishna makes. Because why I wanted to speak about this, I wanted to point out this thing, because Krishna, very explicitly in this verse, explain what it means to surrender. Basically, he says, "Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasavam." He makes this statement, surrender unto me with the spiritual consciousness. But then he explains what spiritual consciousness means. Because otherwise, it's a very vague term. It's something really not clear. You know, and sometimes we think, yes, I'm very spiritual. I'm extremely spiritual. I'm almost a pure devotee. Little problems here and there, but ultimately I'm very surrendered soul. But he explains these three things which I wanted to speak a little bit about, to elaborate a little bit. He says Nirashihi, Nirmamaha, and Vigatajvara. He says basically this is the elaborate or more detailed description of what Adhyatma Chetasa is. First he makes the general statement. You give me all the work, all the fruits of your work, and do it in a proper consciousness, not grudgingly, not unwillingly, do it in a proper way. But then he explains what it means. And he says this is the three quality of surrender. This is the three very deep features of surrender, or very internal conception or understanding which we have to have. So first is Nirashir, which basically means that surrender means that you should give up hope to enjoy. Yeah, that's what it means. You should give up hope to enjoy independently. Yeah, it means basically that, because what we keep always for ourselves, somewhere deep down in the heart, you know, there is some little hope. There is a saying in Russian, and that the hope dies the last. Everything else is dead, but the hope is still there. Nothing else is left, but the hope is singing the song. You know, everything will be all right. Just wait a little bit. Just tolerate a little bit. And it will be okay. You will enjoy. So this is what he says. The first thing, you know, in order to surrender, a surrender means that you have to give up hope. That means that this little, you know, soft corner in your heart, which is still there, you kind of, you know, keep it for yourself. Maybe. One way or another, by hook or by crook, I will become happy. Without all this stuff, without all this, you know, tedious work on this and that. So this is the first thing which should be very clearly understood, that I am not independent. Nirashir means that I am not independent at any stage of my life. And I will never become independent. And it means that any independent desire to enjoy is foolish. Prabhupada explains this, that he says this is what it means. You have to take the order of the Lord and fulfill His will without any consideration. Because independence means that I keep this right within myself to have the independent desires. Yes, Krishna wants this, but I want. I'm also individual spiritual being, you know. I also want something. So Nirashir means you give up this nonsense. You give up this idea that, you know, by desiring something independent. And we know this. We already know this by our own experience. That, you know, how many times I desired something independently. And I ended up in big trouble. We always want something, and the result is always the same. There was one prime minister in Russia, and he made his place in the history by making a very bold statement. He once said, it was very historical, he probably didn't even want to say this, but somehow or other it slipped out of his mouth. He says, we wanted to do something better, but the result was as always.
As usual.
Wanted to do something good, but the result was as usual. Meaning that we were hoping to get something good, but the result, he didn't say what is usual, but everyone knows what is usual. The usual means nothing good. And that's what Krishna says first. This is the internal understanding which we have to have. Nirashir, I don't have hopes that by independent desires I'll get something good. By independent desires I only get something bad. And then Nirmama has not, means nothing belongs to me. It means that this kind of understanding that again, this is the explanation or description of the spiritual consciousness. First, you don't have desire to be independent, and second, you know that there is no, you do not try to develop proprietorship, because both of these things, the hope to enjoy independently and the sense of proprietorship, is the aspects of our false ego. When we develop this sense of proprietorship, it's the food for our false ego. Somehow or other, nowadays I have to meet with all these big, big rich people to beg them to give some money for Moscow College. To tell them that it doesn't belong to them. And inevitably, you can see one very prominent feature in every one of them. They are all very proud. The more you have, the more blind you become about the reality. They are all very proud. I mean, I know one of them. He's a nice, very nice person. So proud. It's just unbelievable. Before he always gives lectures, and he can give lectures on any topic, he can go on, Last time when I met with him, he gave, 45-minute lecture about medicines, and he was telling me this and that. And I was sitting very humbly listening. But the point is that when there's this sense of proprietorship, it is said actually that this is the pride. This is an aspect of our false ego. The more we have, this is the food for our false ego. It becomes, more and more and more. Therefore, Narada Muni, he says that Daridrata, the poverty, the condition of poverty is the best medicine for blindness. When you reach, you become blind. Aishvaryasya andha, whatever. You become blind because of the Aishvarya. And Narada Muni says that there is a good medicine for this disease, for this condition of the blindness. It is the Daridrata. When you become really poor, then your eyes open and you can see the reality. So therefore Krishna here says that what he says here, he explains the meaning of surrender, and he explains that surrender means you give up your false ego. And false ego, it basically consists of these two things: the hope to enjoy independently, the independent position. Because people, they even ready to give up their life, but to maintain the independent thinking, the independent, this is a big thing nowadays. You have to be an independent thinker. Independent, it means that you have to you know, concoct something which nobody else concocted before you. So this means... Although you cannot even do this. Even this you cannot do, because everything which could be concocted is already concocted in India. All the six philosophical concoctions there, and everything is there. This is the feature of false ego. You are independent. And another feature of false ego, this is mine. One feature is I, and I means I am on my own, I am independent, I don't need anyone. You know, I will make it, I will do it, I will somehow or other. And for that Krishna says, Nirasya, give it up. And the second feature of the false ego, mama, mine, he says, nirmama. And that's what he says. Surrender means not really surrender, you know, externally. Surrender means you become really, really humble. Basically, what you have to surrender, and this is very difficult, you have to surrender, it's even difficult for me to pronounce this, because it's so painful. You have to surrender your image of yourself. And this is unbelievable, because, you know, we already know who I am. We already know I am very good. I have this and that and this and that. Krishna says, give it up, this is all nonsense. And this is, you know, this all mental qualities or mental kind of stuff, mental understanding or conception of ourselves is very difficult to give up. We can see it. The people, you know, when they point out our some kind of physical diseases or physical problems, that's not a problem, not a big deal. But when they say something about what we think we are, that means our mental qualities. If they say, Prabhu, you are too proud. Oh no. I'm not proud! Somebody told me a story about one devotee. He was supposed to get first initiation or second initiation, I don't remember. And he came to temple president. And the temple president said, no, I'm not going to give you recommendation for initiation. He said, why? Because you're not humble. The guy became so offended. He took the temple present, he started shaking him, said, who told you that I'm not humble? What is the proof? It's a real story. The point is that if we have some problems, and we do have some problems, we don't want to give it up. You know, we don't want to listen to this. We don't want to give up our image of ourselves. And that's exactly what, you know, Arjuna didn't want. Arjuna said to Krishna in the beginning, you know, I'm a good person. Who do you think I am? I can't kill my relatives. You know, I'm a good man. And it took Krishna 18 chapters to explain that this is your concoction. That you're not this. You're just a little tiny spiritual spark. And your duty is not to just, you know, concoct all those things, but just to surrender to me, just to fulfill my will, just to do what I want from you. So, what I mean to say is that it's not easy. And Krishna knows this. Therefore he says, but he explains to us, for us not to deceive ourselves. Am I surrendered or not? We have to ask this question. You know, we're cool. You know, we're devotees. But, Bhakta Abhas. Really, Bhaktas, we're just kind of shadow of Bhakta. And then he says another thing very interesting. He basically gives these three qualities of surrender. One is nirashihi, another one is nirmama, and another one is vigatajvara. Vigatajvara means that you give up this feverish condition. As Prabhupada explains, if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, which is without consideration of so-called kinsmen in the bodily relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. Says basically there is another disease. What Krishna is explaining here, he says there are three basic diseases which we have in our subtle body or subtle constitution of ourselves. One is this hope to be independent or desire to be independent. Another one is the sense of proprietorship. Whatever I see, whatever somehow or other related to me is mine. I have it. It's interesting that in Sanskrit or in Hindi also, you cannot really even say I have it. You can only say it's near to me. it's next to me. So, because I don't have it. That's not my real quality. But the third problem is also difficult. Even if you overcame the first two, still this jvar or fever can be there within your consciousness or within your psyche, within your mind. And this fever, as Krishna says, vigata jvara, get rid of this fever, is different things which really stand on the way of our proper action. Here he says, do your duty. Just, you know, yuddhasva. You just fight. Fight means, Prabhupada explains this, you do what you're supposed to do, no matter what. But then we know that there is this, you know, okay, it's not mine, okay, I don't want to be, you know, independent. But still, you know, we feel like, you know, it's okay, it's not mine. I'm not independent. I go to sleep being totally dependent on Krishna in my sleep. You know, all these things, basically this jvar means fever, and fever means lust, fever means anger, fever means greed. Krishna explained that this is all feverish conditions, and these feverish conditions or defects of our consciousness, which are a result of the influence of the lower modes of nature, is the impediment for us to act. Why we cannot act for Krishna, why we cannot really do devotional service? Because of this. And I may even give up the proprietorship and even this independence. Still I may have. Of course, this is usually the result of this independent kind of nature, the lust and greed and everything. So, but he specifically says that this consequences of our faulty consciousness should also be given up. And it means that you really, what it means that you really have to distance yourself from the problematic conditions within our mind. Jvara means basically this agitated mind. And when you are agitated, you cannot do anything. You know, when you are angry, you know, just shaking, and you cannot do anything. And we like this. Somehow or other, we like this. We like this feverish. Somehow or other, we develop the perverted attachment to all this feverish condition, lust. Phew, this is a nice fever. You know, it's really it's a disease. You know, you're just shaking. But people like it. People like all this fever, which really is the impediment for them to work. Because to work, you have to have very cool mind. You have to have, you know, really clean heart. You have to have certain kind of situation, and you cannot be happy in this condition, because even Krishna says, "Ashantasya kutah sukham." If you don't have peace within your mind, how you can be happy? So Krishna explains that, you know, this adhyatma chetasa, or spiritual consciousness, in which the surrender can take place, in which surrender can only take place, it more specifically means these three qualities. And he says, this is what I expect from you, this is what where you have to work. This is what surrender means, you know. You give up this foolishness, foolish idea of being independent, you give up this foolish idea of, you know, proprietorship, this is mine, and this is all this, you know, foolish conceptions of my false identity in this world. And you give up this fever of different passions. That's why we follow four regulative principles. The four regulative principles, they are supposed to cool down a little bit this feverish condition of our mind, which people don't like, because they think, you know, what am I supposed to do without this fever? We are so used to this fever that we think that this something is wrong when I don't have fever. You know, even though fever is a disease, it is a disease. I remember once I gave I spoke with one lady. We were sitting, it was long ago in the Soviet time, there were long queues. So we were sitting together with her in a queue in the hospital. And I told her something, and she became very inspired, and she said, okay, I'll chant. She promised to me, I'll start chanting, and she started chanting. 1 month later, I again met her, and I asked, do you chant? She said, no, I didn't, I don't chant. I stopped, I gave up. I said, why? She said, because I started chanting, and I became so calm and so cool, and I didn't like it at all, so I gave it up. She said, I was afraid, you know, what will happen with me if I'm so so calm? So that's what Krishna says, Vigatajvara. You just give up this fever, which is nonsense, but unfortunately we are attached to this nonsense. And basically what he wants to say, if you do this, you will become happy. There's no doubt about it, you will become happy, because this is your natural condition. But unfortunately this difficult mechanism which are there within our psyche is the impediment for this. But he gives the clear indications, and this is good for us to know. And even though, as Prabhupada says, that this is maybe a little difficult to discharge, but it's okay, you will do it. I know, you can do it. If you understand that this is, that Krishna is speaking for yourself. That's what it is, and this is where we have to work, in our internal work, by trying to become some kind of devotees or bhaktas of Krishna. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Kirtan. You can have
Shokirtan.
Yeah, it's a
question.
Yeah, okay. I'm not too long, you know, it's
not long. No, it's fine.
Generally, in the Rupa's mentality, as you find, as you said in the beginning, you told that the gods who become humble, then they are presented as a god. So I can see so many, some people in the mentality, the sannyasi are the guru, they're expecting they should be humble, otherwise they say, it's not good sannyasi. Why is that, Maharaj? How can they expect they should be very humble?
Well, sannyasis should be humble, there's no doubt about it. The point is that we should not expect from anyone anything. This is humility. Humility means, this is actually the safest position in the world, not expect anything from anyone. This is the most sure cure from disappointment. If you don't expect, you cannot be disappointed. If you expect something from sannyasis, you can be very much disappointed. Well, it's better not to expect anything. This is more reliable way of dealing. But sannyasis should be, I mean, everyone should be humble, but at the same time, see, sometimes people really foolish, because sannyasis or spiritual masters, they have to manifest certain qualities which may apparently or externally seemingly look like lack of humility. Like Prabhupada, he was not always humble, you know, in a conventional sense. He was always humble, but, you know, humble means you understand your position. The pride means you pump up your position artificially. You become puffed up artificially. You try to encroach, or you try to take some position which is artificial. This is pride. And the pride usually is, again, mechanism to hide our inferiority complex. We all feel that we are a little nothing. But we don't want others to notice it. And therefore, we externally become really, you know, something. But it's like, you know, like this balloon. At one point it just will blow up. It's just external kind of thing. But so if a sannyasi is a sannyasi, he sometimes has to become heavy, sometimes he has to teach people, sometimes he has to say something which is not pleasant. Of course, different people teach by different means, like Radhananda Maharaj, he's always humble. And that's his way to teach others. That's his way to teach others. But some other people, they can teach by some other way. Like Prabhupada, he was not always, you know, one boy, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada came to him and he said, you know, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Usually, you know, when people say I'm most fallen, they mean to say I'm the most elevated devotee, don't you see? And it's very easy to check. When somebody comes to you and say, I'm the most fallen, you say, yes, yes, you are. And you'll see the reaction. So this devotee came to Prabhupada. Oh, Prabhupada, I'm so fallen, I'm most fallen. Prabhupada says, you're most nothing. You're not anything most. You're just insignificant. You're not even most fallen. It's again your pride. So externally, this kind of statement may be seen as something which is not humility, but it is a humility, because Prabhupada acts according to his real position. And that's what humility means, you know. And if we are to expect from people something, then we have to expect that they should work according to the position which they are in. And sometimes, you know, sannyasis, because they're supposed to be teachers of the society, they... Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. I mean, he said so many things which were not humble at all, you know, in a sense, you know. He was offending people left and right. He was... You know, somebody would come to him, oh, Babaji Maharaj, he said, get out of here, you nonsense, you rascal, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with you. So, is it humble or not humble? And that's how we should understand it.
As you said, it's difficult to in proper surrender if you're not in spiritual consciousness. Do you mean
it's not possible?
It's not possible. More accurate. I wasn't fully surrendered when I was listening to you. But So does it mean that you have to be in that mode of goodness to be able to make it easier to surrender?
In a sense, although it's not really prerequisite of surrender. It may be easier, it may not be easier, because mode of goodness has another kind of pride, you know. People in the mode of goodness, they are proud of having knowledge, because mode of goodness gives them some kind of knowledge. And the mode of goodness gives them happiness. And they're proud to be happy, and they're proud. Mode of goodness has some problems as well, you know. Mode of passion and mode of ignorance have problems, but mode of goodness also has problems. Because you can become proud of your knowledge. And sometimes it's more difficult for the people in the mode of goodness to surrender. Because they do have something. People in the mode of, in Tamagun or in Rajagun, especially in Tamagun, they sometimes really feel that they have nothing, you know, nothing good is there. And they surrender. And that's basically where most of the devotees are coming from. Patita Pavana Heta Tava Avatar Mosama Patita Prabhupada. So it's not necessarily. And Krishna also says this when he says Apichet Sudara Charo Bhajate Namananya Bhav. This verse implies that you can have problems connected with lower modes of nature. Otherwise, how you would be Sudarachar? You wouldn't be the lowest of the sinners. He says, but despite of being the lowest of the sinners, Krishna says, if you have the determination in the right place, if your determination is placed correctly, then Sadureva Samantavyah. And, you know, very soon this person will become righteous. So, yes, mode of goodness may help in one sense, but it's not a guarantee or whatever. You have to come to the mode of goodness when you surrender, because, and also Krishna says this here, he says you regulate your life. And regulate your life means to get rid of all these influences, means mode of goodness. But surrender is different. Surrender is in the realm of transcendence, basically. So it's not really.
Maharaj was giving like 3-4 examples. Like, if somebody, one devotee has done something good, he has achieved something, and not achieved, like, he done some service, and somebody comes to him, one devotee comes to him, wow, you have done wonderful service, you are a wonderful devotee, this, that. And one answer is, stop speaking rubbish. Yeah? Don't speak rubbish. And then person is shut. And he is not going to, you know, say any praises of yours. Okay, the second approach is, okay, the person is saying, no, I am most fallen, you know, it's not like that. I am most fallen person, don't say like that. And then the third is, okay, go on. I'm listening. And then fourth is you confront, no, you are better than me, you are this. So, sometimes it's for the devotee, what is the best way? Walk out from these kind of situation, because these situations sometimes could be hindrance to your spiritual life. Like,
it's a food for the false ego when somebody glorifies you, and therefore Krishna says, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that we should not criticize, but we should praise either. But see, the best strategy in this case is either externally or at least internally to really immediately understand that this is not me, I'm not the doer, and this is not because of me. And basically, that's what you should say also. You should say, if somebody praises you for this and that, you have to say that this is not me. This is because of my spiritual master, because of the devotees, because... And you really have to say, and you have to mean it, you know. It's not because I'm that good or whatever. It's... who I am. I know who I am. You know. Don't try to fool me. I know better who I am. But I'm trying, and why I'm trying? Because the devotees encourage me, because the devotees expect me, because, you know, because my spiritual master wants. That's the only reason why I'm doing this. And you have to say it with all sincerity, you know, which is there. So that's the recipe. And you say I'm most fallen. This is false. This is not, you're not the most amazing. Because when people say I'm most fallen, they just expect that you praise them even more. Not only you did such a good service, but you also humble. You know, I understand your real glory. one shouldn't play these games. There's no use. But what we have to see when somebody praises us, we have to really understand this is not, you know, this is. Like there was an interesting story in Ramanujacharya's life. He had this servant Govinda, and Govinda was his cousin brother. He was a very surrendered soul, and he was sold out to Ramanujacharya. And once the other disciples of Ramanujacharya started praising him. They came and say, "Oh, you're so great." And to their surprise, he'll say, "Yes. You're right. Yes, go on." So they became a little surprised, and they went to Ramanujacharya and they complained. They said, "You know what Govinda is doing? He became really puffed up, you know, saying this." And he says, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." And Ramanujacharya called Govinda. And he said, "You know, was it true? Did you say like this?" He said, "Yes, I said like this." "Why did you say like this?" "Because when they were saying this, I know that all these good qualities which they glorify are coming from you, and I agree, yeah, but definitely it's all coming from him, therefore it's there, yeah." It's only in me because it's coming from him. Basically, this ahankar means that the basis of ahankar. Ahankar has two main features, which is karta and bhokta. Agency, I'm the doer, and bhokta, I'm the enjoyer. And the agency, the feeling that I'm the doer is the main one. And we have to really watch out. You know, I'm not the doer. It's not I'm doing. You know, if anything is doing, you know, this is Vaishnava, this is my spiritual master, this is Krishna, this is that. You have to have this clear understanding. Because when this karta feeling is there, I'm the doer, then the feeling that I'm enjoyer will come. If you're a doer, means you will get the fruits and you will enjoy the fruits. So that's inevitable.
You talking about the last Vigata Jara Lethargy, we find that when we first join Krishna consciousness, everything is, we want to do everything. And somehow or other, as time goes on, we start to pick and choose. No, I like this. I don't like that. I like this. I don't like that. To the point where we become so rigid that this is all I want to do. So how does one check that one doesn't? Because that's also then lethargy, that someone then gives you a service and no, that's for the bhaktas. You know, I'm a little bit more advanced.
Yeah, that's the lack of surrender, because surrender means that I don't have my independent will. I will do what Krishna wants me to do, what my spiritual master wants me to do. That's the understanding, which is very clear. And again, you know, sometimes it's not pleasant, because Arjuna didn't want to fight. And there is this verse in Bhagavad Gita where they said that every endeavor is faulty. It has some problems in it. Every work has some problems in it. If I'm choosing, means again, I have this independent ego. I'm the one who has to choose. I'm the one who has to say, this is good, this is not good. I'm not the one. No, I don't know what is good for me. I know for sure that what is good for me is to do what I'm supposed to do, what I'm told to do. So we have to watch out and see, and, you know, really watch out. Of course, we have to do what we like. This is another thing, because Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, Arjuna, now you become a, you know, you become a big, big businessman and, you know, earn some millions of dollars for me and I will finish Duryodhana. He said, you know, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasachi, you're Savyasachi, you're the best art. You know. So, but at the same time, we have to, you know, to be surrendered means that if something is necessary, we should be ready to do it. And the act of doing it is the most beneficial for us. The very act, the very sentiment, the very move from our heart is that, yes, I'll do it, yes. Yes, right. That's good. This is what Krishna appreciates. This is what spiritual master appreciates when he sees it. When he sees this, you know, desire to do whatever is necessary. And this should be our reward. And we see that spiritual master smiles. It's a fact. If somebody is surrendered, if somebody is ready to do whatever is necessary, it really becomes very dear to your heart. you really appreciate this. You see, it's difficult, but he's doing it.